Hey, how's it going? This is Pastor Jeff, and I want to talk to you about intentional urgency. This came about while I was at my friend's memorial or celebration of life, however you want to look at that. And while people were sharing about him and we were hearing about his life, you know, the stuff that maybe I didn't already know because I've only known him for about 2 years before God decided to call him home, you know, and so I was hearing all this stuff, and I'm listening, and I'm taking it in, and I'm just feeling this sense welling up in me. And it turns out that that sense was the sense of intentional urgency. Like, life is short, and there's a chance that you could be gone in the next couple minutes, if not sooner or later. You're just not guaranteed tomorrow. And so there should be this intentionality behind how we live. There should be this urgency in how we live. Hey, we should be more willing as followers of Christ to be intentional in how we live, intentional in how we proclaim the gospel, intentional how we proclaim God's word. We should have an urgency behind that. We should be willing to go out even on the streets, not just behind a pulpit, not just behind a microphone, not behind a camera, not in front of a camera. You know, we should be willing to go out and proclaim the gospel no matter where we are at. We should be willing to pull out a Bible and start preaching God's word. Okay? As a pastor, this is one of the things that you are called to, right? I'm an ordained minister, therefore I'm a pastor. One of the things that I'm called to is to be intentionally urgent in proclaiming God's word and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Not to mention his coming return. Like, it's coming. The signs are being put in front of us. We should be seeking to see Christ coming on the clouds and then hearing that trumpet call calling us to him as he is coming. But that's a whole different subject that we don't need to go too much further on at the moment. However, I just feel this sense of needing to be urgent. This whole idea of intentional urgency, I think, was brought about by the Holy Spirit through my friend's memorial. You know, because I'm sure that there was probably a very small thought process as he was going through what he was going through before God called him home. You know, that did I do enough? Did I proclaim God's word enough? Did I share Christ enough? You know, and I don't want to have those thoughts if I'm about to go home. I don't want to have the thoughts of have I modeled Christ enough to my children that they'll hold strong past this thing. Did I proclaim Christ loud enough that my wife will cling to him no matter the circumstances? These are the things that I think many men or pastors, guys who are really keen on wanting to proclaim the gospel and preach God's word, you know, I think that we have this higher understanding of that. Not that we're higher than everybody, but just that we know that this urgency and intentionality must be present in our lives. And I think a lot of times it's just not. You know, we saw how complacent Adam was in the garden as he's standing there letting his wife get deceived by some serpent, and then it's just kind of carried on. Like, there's just been this complacency in men, and I think we need to do whatever we can to change that. We need to be men. We need to be pastors. We need to be husbands. We need to be brothers who go and proclaim the gospel, and then we train up other people to go and proclaim the gospel, and then we can go back out and get more people that we can train to proclaim God's word and the gospel. Okay, this, and then continue the cycle, right? This is the mandate of the believer, is to Make disciples. How do you make disciples? Well, you go out and you find people who are hungry to hear the gospel, who will repent, follow Jesus, and then want to get trained to go out and proclaim the gospel. It's a cycle that we are all a part of, and I know that we can follow. There's other biblical principle for this, like the urgency that is there. There is an urgency because Jesus is returning. He will come back. It doesn't matter if it's a tomorrow or a thousand years from now, he will come back. And we, as followers of him, need to be doing what he has called us to do, which is make disciples again. Okay? And to make more disciples, and then more disciples, and more disciples, and then pass on all the stuff that we have learned as believers and followers of Christ to the next ones that will then go and make disciples. And let the process continue over and over and over again until Jesus calls us all into glory at his return. Hey, we must have an intentional urgency. Okay, being intentional means that you are doing something regardless of how you feel about the thing. You are intentionally going to do that. If you set your mind to it and you do it, nothing will derail you from doing that thing. Okay, and the urgency is that, again, tonight could be your final night. You could be called home tonight. And you, as a follower of Christ, want to hear those beautiful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest." At least that's what we should all be longing for. We should be longing to hear those words. And I think sometimes we hope that we've just checked all the boxes. Went to church this week. Went to small group this week. But did we really do what Jesus called us to do? Which is make disciples. Using the gifts that he has given us through his Holy Spirit? Have we been trained up so that we can go out and perform the work of ministry? Have we trained up others so they can go out and perform the work of ministry? Have we done the things that God has purposed us for? And I can honestly say that I haven't always. I have my moments. No, but moments are not what God is asking for. We have been called to use our entire lives in service to him and in doing the purposes that he has made us for. And that's convicting because I know there's more that I could be doing at home. There's more I could be doing in the workplace. There's more I could be doing in our church body. There's more I could be doing as a pastor to go out and preach God's word more. I could be utilizing stuff like this, a podcast, a video podcast, doing videos on the street, doing whatever I can to help spread the word. And you can too. How simple is it to buy a $40 microphone, hook it up to your computer, record it with a free app, and then edit it and put it out into Spotify? Right? Spotify for podcasters is free. We can host, we can record, we can edit, we can get a cheap camera, use your cell phone, create Instagram stories where you are proclaiming the gospel to people, you could have amazing reach there. You're not doing it to get famous. Like, I'm not doing this to become famous, to make myself known, but I want to make Christ known, and I want the gospel to be heard, okay? We are messed up, jacked up. We are sinners. It has been inherited all the way back from Adam when he failed to follow God's mandate. Okay? The flood came because of how wicked humanity had become. And Noah and his family was the only ones that God counted as righteous. Okay? He credited righteousness to him. And Noah was faithful in that time of building the ark, and then he got to go through the flood. He lived, he helped repopulate. Then we get to the Tower of Babel, and people think that, oh, we're going to make a name for ourselves. And then God just disperses them by changing the languages. And then we just see all throughout history that there is just this narrative of us screwing up and God rescuing us. It's exactly what he did with Christ. He is rescuing us. He is saving us from himself. Yes, that is a hard concept, but he is the one who exacts judgment. He is the one who allows us to live for ourselves, live in sin, and not repent. He will allow that, and he will give you exactly what you wanted, life without him. And that is hell. Okay. But we, as sinners, people who sin constantly, have been given a way to be rescued, and that is through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Christ Jesus. Okay. For my messianic friends, Yeshua HaMashiach. He is our Lord. He is our Messiah. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is our propitiation. He is Lord God Almighty in the flesh, who lived perfectly sinless and died so that we do not have to experience the pain and suffering that he went through on our behalf, so that we could be set free from sin if we will but believe on him, repent, and follow him in faith. All the questions that you have won't be answered, but that's where faith steps in. In the areas that we don't have evidence, that we don't have proof, we have faith. It's not blind. Faith doesn't have to be blind, because there's so much evidence for the things that we believe. There's so much evidence for Christ, and that he was real, that he really lived, that he really walked this earth, that he really rose from the dead. There were witnesses to this. And anybody will tell you that the Gospels are eyewitness accounts. They follow perfectly what an eyewitness would have probably written down. If you don't believe me, go check out J. Warner Wallace. He is the guy who was an atheist for over 30 years, and as a cold case homicide detective, applied what he knows in cold case homicides to the Gospels, and came out believing that Jesus is the Christ, that he is real, that he really lived, that he really died, that he really rose from the dead, that he is now at the right hand of the Father waiting for his return to gather us. And I think the last thing I'm going to say about this for now is that if you have not surrendered your life to Christ, I implore you to do so. Just speak with him. Let him know that you are sorry for the sins that you have committed against him. Let him know that you want to follow him, that he is Lord of your life, and that you surrender to him, and that you repent. And then go live for him. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, and go get trained so that you can go do the work of ministry. Thank you for listening.